The title of my short message is going to be short. It's going to be a unique service today. It's going to be Jesus is alive and he still saves. You listen to me. Jesus is alive and he still saves. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is life in Christ. So many people can look at us as Christians and can think, what in the world is wrong with these people? What is wrong with them? I mean, they gather together on Thursday evenings. They read the Bible. They gather together on Sunday. They praise, they dance, they shout, they just worship the Lord. And what is wrong with them? Who are they worshiping? Because there is nobody that we can see around. But I want to tell you something. I know my life. And I know where Jesus Christ has brought me from. And I know the addictions that I had. I know the issues that I had in life. I know the sin that was besetting me. And Jesus came and set me free. Now I live in freedom for him. I don't have to be somebody who I'm not. I don't have to be you and you don't have to be me. We can be we. How about that? And just worshiping God. When Jesus comes into our lives, it's not, we never remain the same. But we're being changed to be more like him. In the Old Testament, there were many people that wanted to see the day that we live in. In the Old Testament, there were people, generations of people, that they actually wanted to live in a day that we are living in. And what I mean by it, it's when Christ has come and died for their sins, and now we're justified by faith. Many people in the Old Testament, when they sinned, they had to bring a sacrifice. The Bible teaches us that for every single sin, they had to bring a sacrifice. But the key in that is that sacrifice was only good for the sin that they just committed. It was never strong enough to cover their future sin. And it was a cycle of sin, repent. And they longed for the day because they knew that the Messiah was promised. That he's going to come and die on a cross and resurrect the third day for our righteousness. And people long to see that day, to be able to partake from that new testament, from that truth of Jesus Christ that will set them free. And many of them died by sinning, repenting, bringing sacrifices. But God, our Creator, heard our cry. He saw our pain, and he saw our need. And he was not satisfied in that. And the only way we can be forgiven and the only way we can be cleansed and set free is through Jesus Christ. There is only one way to get to heaven. Fellow friend, brother and sister, whatever where your walk with the Lord is, the Bible says there's only one way to get to heaven, and this is through Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? By putting our faith and trust in him. And he was that ultimate sacrifice that came down from heaven because he says, for God so loved the world. Can you imagine if you were the only person in the world, he will still come and die for you? Because that's the only way how we can have eternal life. That's the only way how we can be forgiven, through Jesus Christ. He so loved me and you that he went to that cross and said, Father, not my will but your will be done. The only way that communication can be brought back with Christ, with God. The only way that we can come back in a fellowship with Almighty God. The way Adam and Eve had back in the day. The only way that can happen and be redeemed, it was through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that whoever will come to him, he will not send them away. You don't have to pretend. I'm not here to sit and convince you of something, but I'm here to just remind you that there is nothing in this world that can give you satisfaction. You will search it all of your life. The only satisfaction is found in Jesus Christ. I would hate for you to miss this truth. And don't just listen to me, but take this word and read it and find it for yourself. That Jesus Christ came to give you life and life in abundance. Death could not hold him down. He lived this life and preached the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. In the bad news that you're receiving today, in the commotion that you find yourself today, Jesus is saying, I can come and bring you good news. If you can turn to me, if you can put your faith and trust in me, you cannot buy your salvation. You can be the wealthiest man in this world. There is not amount of gold, not amount of money that we can buy our path to heaven. And I'm just reminded of a story that is familiar with those that are traveling. When we go to the airport, especially internationally, I'm not saying, well, can you pass me through to certain countries? And they're going to ask me, where is your visa? Well, I'm Mr. Pavel Mefti. I'm a pastor of Summit Community Church. I know a few people. I have friends even with some of the people from the army. I have connections. Can you let me through? No. Where is your stamp? Where is your passport? Where is your pass? No, but I did so many good things. Listen, go in Granville and find out. I did so much good. I'm a good man. Listen, what is your pass? You got to have a pass to be able to get to another country. I cannot get you in this plane. No. But you do not understand. I'm a good man. I have a good reputation. I did not murder anybody. I did not lie. I did not do any of this. I'm a good man. I help people. I see the poor. I give them money. No. None of that matters. None of that matters for you to get into this plane. For you to be able to get into this plane, you need to have a pass. You need to get this stamp. Brothers and sisters, when we stand before God one day, we're not going to impress him what we did or what we did not do. He's going to ask for this pass. What is this pass? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. There is nothing else we can impress him. There is nothing else that we can do to say that I deserve this. Because the Bible says that we all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. We are in need of salvation. We are in need of the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sin. Many people don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, but this is where the power is. The cross was for me and for you. For the people around us is foolishness, but for those that put their faith in Jesus Christ is the power of God in us. And this is the past when we stand and we say, yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've committed things in my life that I'm ashamed of. Or you can stand and say that I did so much good. I helped everybody. I'm a good man. I didn't do anything. The only thing that matters when we stand before our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, before the Almighty God, have we accepted him as a personal Savior? Have we have been invited him into our lives to say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of you. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. And through that, this is how we're saved. It doesn't matter what you did and what you didn't do. What matters is if we put our faith and trust in him here on earth. That day will be too late. But God has brought you here for a reason. For some reason, I have this in my heart to share the simple gospel. That Jesus Christ can save you. Jesus Christ can forgive you. Jesus Christ said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. There are people that might ask a question. That, well, if Jesus Christ is so powerful, if Jesus Christ is so mighty to be able to forgive the sin, and he came and died for the world, and he came to set us free, why is there so much pain? Why is there so much distress in this world? He doesn't have power. How come we preach about that, we say about that, but there's so much things going on in this world that are just messed up? And I'm reminded of a story that I've heard a preacher once share, that he was invited to be on TV. And right before he was going live, there were atheist people in that room, and he was the evangelist, waiting for that moment to be able to just share the gospel. And they're going to prove why God doesn't exist, why everything is so messed up, and why everything is a lie. And this preacher is just waiting. And it came a moment when they just went on to be live. And this atheist says, "So preacher, why is there so much hurt in this world? Why there is so much pain? Why there is so much destruction? If God so loved the world, why is everything a mess? If He's a God of the world, what is going on? Who is just Jesus?" And in that moment, a thought came to that preacher. And he said, "There is a lot of soap in this world, but there are still people that are dirty." You hear me? There is a lot of soap in this world, but there are still people that are dirty. Is the soap not powerful enough to wash somebody's body? It is. But that person that is in need, he has to reach out to the soap and apply it to himself. You hear me? It's not that God is not absent. It's because we choose to walk away from Him. It's not that He's not there to heal you or to forgive you. But it's because we don't want to have anything to do with Him. But for us to experience the power of the cross, for us to be able to experience the resurrection of Christ, we have to say, "God, come into my life. Let this blood of Jesus Christ apply to your life." See, the secret of soap, it can only wash your body outwardly. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace that came from heaven, can wash you from the inside out. We can look around and we can say, "How beautiful you came. A nice tie, nice shoes, nice suit, nice face, a little bit of makeup just to make us look a little more edgy." But there is nothing, nothing in this world that can wash us from inside out. If we only can open up our lives and for people to see the ugliness that is going on in us, we will be ashamed of ourselves. But today you don't have to be ashamed anymore, because Jesus Christ can forgive you. He can cleanse you, because there is power in the blood. There is power in the cross. There is power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, there is no point to come to church to sing the songs once or twice a year, three times a year, and to live your own life how you want in sin. This is not the gospel. When we come to Jesus Christ, the gospel is that we are walking in freedom. He frees us from the sin of this world. So often, the picture that we see of criminals, it's when they're in prison. And this is the evidence that we say, yes, they're in prison now. They are criminals. They did something wrong. But so many of us here in this place can walk around thinking that we are in freedom, but we are in prison. We might not be physically in prison, but spiritually we're there. We're bound by the sin of this world. We're bound by the things that come against us. And the more the Holy Spirit is trying to talk to us, to reveal Himself to us, the more we kick against it and push against it, because we want to live our own way. Because we want to do our own thing. And it's okay if you choose to do that. But I would beg you today, receive the gift of salvation. It's free. It's good news. All what you have to say, "Jesus Christ, I believe that you're the Son of God. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are the Messiah. Please forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need you. I need you." And in that moment, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you are saved. Now the second step is, of course, to read the Word of God and to walk it out, that salvation. We are saved by grace and grace alone. but the works are following that Christian. We can do so much good, it doesn't impress God. The works that we do should be the result of our salvation, not to get saved, because salvation is for free. That's why Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, and he was resurrected. That's why we can shout and we can sing, he's alive. Death could not hold him down. There were people during that time that they were looking for Jesus. Some people thought that he's dead, the history is over. And there were his disciples trembling in pain. All the trust that they have put in this man named Jesus. Now he's dead. And we know Mary and a few others, they came to that place where Jesus was buried, to that tomb, and that stone was pushed away. And the Bible says they were looking for Jesus among dead. Where am I looking for Jesus today? Where are you looking for him? Are you looking in the places where they're dead? Because he's not in the tomb anymore, but he's alive. He resurrected. Death could not hold him down. The power of hell could not hold him down. The sin of the world could not hold him down. But he was resurrected for our righteousness. And not only resurrected, but he was ascended. And he's seated at the throne of Almighty God. And once again, he's going to come back soon. And my eye and your eye shall see him. He's coming back. What decision am I making today? To say, God, resurrect in me. Come into this tomb. Come into this smelly, ugly tomb of me. And change me, transform me. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he comes and does this work. And you don't have to be the same. You can be forever changed. Take a shot. What do you have to lose? You hear me? What do you have to lose? If your life is miserable where you're at, take a shot. Say, God, I've tried a lot of things in this world. But if this is true, I'm going to take a shot. And go for a ride with God and see what happens. And I would like not to just preach, but also to show a man, as a friend of mine that I admire, that his life was changed through the power of the gospel. A simple word, you're forgiven. You're made new. And God can do miracles. And God can do miracles. If God can set people free that are in bondage of drugs and all other things that are going on in this world, there is hope for me and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Al.
Hello, everybody. My name is Brother Al. I'm from New York. How you doing? I thank God for this opportunity to share a testimony, and I've experienced the resurrection power of Christ in my life. I used to be a drug dealer and a drug addict and homeless on the street, in and out of jail, in and out of deep rehab and detox centers, inpatient, outpatient, mental institutions, psychiatrists, NA, AA, CA, you name it, I claim it, I did it, I've been there, did that, all kinds of drugs, alcohol, and cigarette addiction, and just a life of sin, a career criminal, in and out of jail, on and off drugs, back and forth, in and out of different places, been homeless for years, several suicide attempts, multiple car accidents, motorcycle accidents, stabbings, shootings, everything. And I'm alive today. It's a miracle. Praise God. A lot of my friends didn't make it. Most of my friends, because of that lifestyle, they're in prison or they're dead. My best friend committed suicide in my apartment. I found him dead in one of my bedrooms. He blew his brains out because of drug addiction and just hopelessness and despair. I've been on drugs since the 70s, started a young teenager, escalated into crack cocaine and harder drugs and everything. And like Pavel said, and Amy touched on it earlier, in John chapter 11, 1994, Jesus showed up at my tomb. And he called me out of that place to death. And he came and he called me by name. And he said, come forth. And I came forth and the grave clothes of drug addiction came off. Amen. The grave clothes of alcoholism came off. The grave clothes of cigarette addiction came off. Jesus kicked out the Marlboro Man and the horse he rode in on. Amen. Praise God. Don't need no more of those nasty cigarettes, praise God. And Jesus transformed my life amazingly, and it's a miracle, and my family don't understand it. My friends can't wrap their head around it. My family's still thinking I'm an ex-addict because I'm off drugs, and I'm an ex-smoker, and I'm an ex-drinker, and all these things, but I ain't no only thing ex about me is I'm excited about Jesus. Amen? Family telling me I'm in a cult and I'm brainwashed. I'm the first born again Christian to break the mold in my family. And they see me now and they said I'm in a cult and I'm brainwashed. I said, no, I'm in Christ and I'm blood washed. Praise God. But they got the wash part, right? Hey, when you're good and dirty, you need to get washed, right? Like Pavo was saying with the soap. But for me, I was on dope and God gave me hope. Amen. And that's what it's all about. And that's what Jesus does. He took me from the guttermost and saved me to the uttermost. Amen? And I've been serving Jesus ever since. I've been clean and sober since 1994. Never touched a drug, never touched alcohol, never touched a cigarette, never even touched a woman. And that's a miracle. And I can testify. I testify of the keeping power of God, that God saves a man, that God can keep a man. If you want to be capped, we still have a free will. But, you know, I use wisdom. You got to watch where you go. If you hang around a barbershop, you're liable to get a haircut. And in my case, I got to stay away from the barbershops. I ain't got much hair left. And God is good, amen? And I know what he did for me in my life. And it's a miracle, and I'm alive today, and I'm serving God. And came into the Teen Challenge program. A man come in a crack house. Jesus come in that crack house through that. My man called me by name and invited me to Teen Challenge. I don't know this man from Adam, and just showed up in my life. And God called me by name through this man, invited me to the Teen Challenge drug program, came into that program, graduated that program, went on to Bible college. I've been here serving the Lord since 1995, and I've been walking in his grace ever since, and the Lord has kept me and keep me, and it's just a testimony of his goodness and what God can do in a person's life when you totally surrender and you just give your will over to the Lord. He took my messed up life and turned it around, amen? And it's a miracle, and I just thank God for the work he did and how he changed me every day. He taught me what it means to be a servant and to keep it real and to be a true Christian. You know, it's easy to walk around a church like an angel and go home and live like the devil. The hardest place to live the Christian life is in the home. What you do behind closed doors, what you're doing on that computer when nobody's around. It's not how high you jump on Sunday, it's how straight you walk on Monday. Amen? We got to keep it real. So I'm just preaching. I'm preaching to myself. I got to do it too. Oh, we got religion. If we just go to church and then go home and live our own way, we got religion. But God has called us into relationship. Oh, we'll be no different from the Pharisees. Amen? I'd rather be washed white than whitewashed. That's what it's all about. Amen. Being washed in that blood, like Pavo was saying, being clean and serving the Lord and walking in his will. I was the black sheep of the family, but now I'm the white sheep. Amen. And my family can tell you it's a miracle. This guy's changed. Though they think I'm crazy. But if I'm crazy, I'm crazy for Jesus. Amen. It's better than being crazy for the devil. So I just encourage anybody in this house tonight, if you're struggling with drug addiction or you're struggling with alcohol, not to believe the lies of the devil, that Jesus could set you free. The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. The devil wants to thrill you and kill you. The devil is a liar and a thief. He wants to kill your body, steal your soul, and take you to hell. He's going to hell. He's taking down as many as he can. And he's using drugs and alcohol to destroy people's life. You see the news and you see what's going on with the drug academic and the street drugs and the narcotics and all of that. I started at a young age, didn't think I would get hooked. Before you know it, I sold everything, lost everything, homeless on the street, and just chasing that first hit. And that's when Jesus saw me like Lazarus. He knew Lazarus died and Lazarus was sick. And he showed up 4 days. And then the sister said, well, you know, he stinketh. And I had family members that wrote me off and said, he stink. He stink like drug. He stink like alcohol. There's no hope. He'll never change. Once an addict, always an addict. And calling me cross addicted. But I'm not a cross addicted. I'm addicted to the cross. Amen? Praise God. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Amen? And that's the gospel truth. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you so much, man. You're a great guy.
You heard it. I've never visited this in my life, but I think I may start using this once in a while, so it doesn't seem like deep words, but practically what God does in people's lives. It's amazing what God can do with your life if you only can trust Him. It's amazing what He can do in your family if you only can call upon Him. If God can touch a person like my friend Al and deliver him and set his feet upon the rock so he can stand. It's foolish in the world. People might think that he's crazy. But you know when he was crazy? Back in the day when he was addicted. But now he's set free. And walks in freedom and praises God. This is what's crazy about us. But our life doesn't belong to us, but belongs to Him. And before I'm going to give you this opportunity to be able to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me my sin. I confess with my mouth and I believe it with my heart that You are the Son of God that died for my sin. I would like to read you a story. A few passages that is written in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5, 7, and 8 says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the king of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Behold, He is coming with a cloud, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty." Fellow friend, one day we will stand before God. Do you believe this? Do you not? Do you want to or you don't want to? That won't matter. We will stand before Him. And one category of people will hear, "Come into my kingdom." You have the pass. You have the stamp in your passport. You have put in your faith and trust in Me. You don't have to impress Me. You don't have to do any good to just buy your way into heaven. The only way is through Jesus Christ. And there will be another category of people, even those who crucified Him, that will see Him face to face and will say, "I did this, I did that. I did never knew You. Well, but I was a good person. But You never accepted me as the good God." I want to give you this opportunity. Nobody will think anything of you. And I don't know who you are. If you live in a willful sin as being a Christian has, that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, make it right. Don't play with fire. Don't play with God. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day when you can make things right. Today is a day when you can say, "God, come into my life one more time and resurrect me from the tomb." And for those that never have made this choice to say, "God, yes, You resurrected more than 2,000 years ago, but You never resurrected in me." He can do this in your life. All what you have to do, say, "I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing." If you can stand with me, please. We're going to sing that song again that we sang during communion. The power of Your love. Listen, it's His love that is after us. It's His grace that is after us. It's not me trying to convince you, but it's the Holy Spirit that works among us. And only His love can convince you, because He loved you so much that He went on a cross and died for you and for me, for us to have everlasting life. And if I can ask all of us to close our eyes, please. Don't look around, please. Just close your eyes. And if you're in this place that you never have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and this message spoke to you today, and you want to commit your life to the Lord, if you can raise your hand with all the heads bowed If you're here, just slip your hand. Nobody's going to think nothing of you. Just slip your hand high. I see it. I see it. I see it. Praise God. If there are people here that you have given your life to Christ, but you're walking in a willful sin, and you're crying out to the Lord, God, resurrect me one more time. Don't let the poison of this world come into my life. If you can raise your hand as well. I see it. I see it. We're going to sing the song. You don't have to come to the front. But if you would like to, I'll just open this invitation for you. There were a bunch of people that gave their lives to Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You can come and join me here and we'll pray the sinner's prayer. And also a few that want to make a relationship right with Christ because it's not right. Also, if you can join me, don't be embarrassed. Jesus was not embarrassed for me and for you. He hung on that cross, shed His blood for me and for you. Don't be embarrassed. If you have enough strength to say, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. Come join me here up front and we're going to pray together. Nobody's going to think nothing of you. Trust me. We're not better than you, but we're all made equal and the same in the sight of God when we put our faith and trust in Him. So if you're here, you don't have to, but I would encourage you, if you would like to come, the altar is open. Please join me and we'll sing the song together. If you're here today and you had given your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as you raise your hand and those that are not living right, if we can all close our eyes and repeat this prayer after me, all of us together. Let's help them out. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for revealing yourself to me.
Thank you for revealing yourself to
me. I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
And I'm in need of you.
And I'm in need of you.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And I thank you. That you have received me.
That you have received.
I believe in my heart. And confess with my mouth. That you are Christ. The Messiah. That came to save the lost. And today you have found me.
I did not find you.
You were never lost.
But you found me.
Because I am lost. Give me the grace from now on.
Give me the grace from now on.
To live for you.
To live for you.
Give me the supernatural power.
Give me the supernatural power.
To do good things.
To do good things.
As a result of being saved.
As a result of being saved.
Not to get saved.
Not to get saved.
Thank you for your grace.
Thank you for your grace.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. The Bible says when one sinner comes to Christ, all heaven is in shake. All heaven rejoices. And we're going to sing one more time, hallelujah, He's alive because He is alive. And today He became alive in so many hearts today here. And if you did not make this commitment today, you can make it in your room, in your bedroom, in the car, wherever you're at. Just cry out to the Lord and give your life to Him. Amen? When one sinner comes to Christ, all heaven is shaken. Today we're going to be joining them, rejoicing and praising Him because He's worthy. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go.